Goeiedag, lieve luisteraars, by die program Ek en my kind, hier by Radio Tygerberg 104 FM. En ek natuurlik Neville Goliath, en vandag is Sura Swart ongelukkig nie met my saam nie, en sy hou 'n bietjie vakansie of doen ander goedjies, maar sy is hierdie. Maar ek is nie alleen nie, en ek het 'n baie spesiale gas wat met my saam is vandag. Jy weet natuurlik, ek en my kind is 'n onderwysprogram. Ons praat met ouers spesifiek oor onderwyssake. Wat is belangrik in die onderwys? Wat is besig om te verander? Wat is dit wat jy moet weet? Hoe kan ons ons kinders gereed maak vir die wêreld waarin ons vandag onsself bevind? Nou, vandag het ek 'n spesiale persoon met my saam. En jy gaan hoor, sy ken haar storie. Sy is natuurlik Warda Conrad. En sy is direkteur met die onderwysdepartement. Maar sy gaan meer van ons vertel wie sy nou werklik is en wat haar taak by die onderwysdepartement behels. Maar maak jy gereed, ons gaan 'n bietjie Engels praat vanaand, né? So as ons vir tussen Afrikaans en Engels val, moenie worry nie, ons sal opstaan, want ons wil graag vir u die inligting gee wat belangrik is vir u om te weet. Goeienaand, Warda.
Goeienaand, Neville, en baie dankie vir u en die luisteraars.
Warda, jy is direkteur by die onderwysdepartement, né?
Ja, dis
direkteur van wat?
Basis is my titel Director Business Strategy and Stakeholder Management. What that means is that I'm in charge of monitoring and reporting. I'm in charge of helping the business decide what its strategy is going to be for the next 5, 10, 20 years. And then also falling within my realm of responsibility, if I can call it that, is managing stakeholders. At the moment, those stakeholders comprise of the political stakeholders, whoever the MEC and might be. Mm-hmm. It also includes the municipalities, it includes the auditors, it includes all of our direct contributors to the support of education in this province.
Just listen to you, Warda, I realize that's a loaded directorate that you're heading. Mm-hmm. And we had the SG on the program in a previous program where he spoke about the vision and the mission of the education department and the direction we are taking, and he spoke about values. Now, all of that would be, you would be driving the direction the education department would
yes.
take.
That's right. So between the SG and EXCO and myself, you do an analysis of what has happened over the past 5 years. You look at all of the stats. You look at what is happening out in the global education environment. And then you decide, based on the information that you have available, what's the best way to move forward and to move the province forward, both for the learner and in order to improve performance and improve opportunity for learners. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, in this directorate, because I report directly to the HOD, and this is really his big transformation strategy. And when I say his, I mean the department, with the ASG being the figurehead of that department and the driving force behind it. It's been placed in my directorate because of the transversal nature of the strategy. It doesn't have a natural home in any one strategy, but because it is a strategic item, it's been placed in directorate business strategy.
One of the things that we were introduced to in earlier programs mm-hmm. by the SG himself was the whole thing about transform to perform. Nou, transformeer om te presteer het baie opskinding en bewuswording in onderwyskringe kom bewerkstellig. So as jy by skole beland, en dan sal mense praat van transform to perform, mm-hmm. en hulle het opleiding in transform to perform. Nou, wat behels dit? Wat is transformeer om te presteer? Is dit 'n nuwe gier? Is dit iets wat onderwys nou nodig het? Wil jy asseblief vir die luisteraars net kom inlig? Mm. Wat is transform to perform?
Well, I need to take a step back before I can give you what transform to perform is. If you look at the Western Cape context, and you have to understand what it is that we have to deal with, you have to understand in terms of every year on year, we get about 25,000 learners who flood into our province. We've got absenteeism, we've got drugs and violence, we've got all of the socio and socioeconomic and socio-emotional scourges that impact on our children and our ability to achieve the vision of the department, which is quality education. Mm. Over the last few years, our focus has been largely on concentrating on content and curriculum delivery.
Yes.
Anyone who understands education and understands how to educate and assist a child to becoming the best version of themselves understands that the three areas you need to focus on is head, hand, and heart. Mm-hmm. Because you deal with the whole child. and educators will talk about holistic development of the child. In the department, what has happened is we've focused so much on content that we've neglected the areas of skills, which is hand, and emotional well-being, which is heart. Mm. In the absence of that, you cannot achieve what it is that you really need to achieve for the child. Bearing that in mind, we're also dealing with a bureaucratic system that is entrenched in the way of how it does its business. Mm. The impact, of course, being that nothing innovative, nothing exciting, nothing extraordinary has happened in the department over the last 20 odd years. Into that space comes transform to perform, which is really taking the three things that you need to focus on as an educator, as a teacher, and pull the little bits and parts together under one umbrella, if you will, called transform to perform. And what it is saying is every single pillar, every single directorate, every person and entity who has anything to do with education in this province needs to understand the way that he or she thinks in order to transform the way we think and the way we operate so that our performance improves. Is it new? Yes, it is. It's new in the scale and the scope of it. In the tiny little bits of it, if we break it down into its granular bits, then it is not new. You'll find little pockets of example, the values in education bits. In fact, values in education was first touted by Kada Asmal.
Yeah.
It didn't land anywhere because it was seen as a political tool. The value of it was therefore lost, and it didn't land and grow fruit and bear any kind of fruit, really. Growth mindset, which is one of our other pillars, that also is globally known, as is neurolinguistics and neuroscience, neuroplasticity. That is something that's newish in the field. It's known very well in business, less so in education.
Let's go a bit further deeper in the sense that I want to ask the question in this way. Now, you've mentioned head, heart, and hand.
Yes.
Now, how would learners directly benefit from that approach?
So what has happened is we've identified four pillars, really. The first being leadership development. Of course, the entire ecosystem around the learner needs to be addressed, hence the four pillars that we've identified. And the ecosystem includes the leadership around it. So the principal, the SMT, will all undergo the same kind of intervention, if you will, the same kind of training and exposure and learning opportunities. The learner himself will get the values conversations. And what we've also done is we've engaged with the RCLs, and the RCLs have adopted this learner values-driven approach. What you'll see also is, I'm sure the SG must have mentioned, is our focus on the learner and the learner accountability, learner self-agency, in the year of the learner 2019. What we're asking the RCLs to drive is learner acceptance that they are responsible for the conversations around values. They need to understand, they need to be able to discuss and sit around a table and talk and share ideas of what does it mean for me to know that I'm being loved, respected, and whichever values it is that, that they're talking about. What it requires of the learner is an acknowledgement that he needs to think about the lines that he needs to draw. How it impacts is a learner who's just been acting day to day and reacting to situations and thinks that he's got no control over his behavior, suddenly creates a framework prior to something happening.
Yes.
And because he's creating a framework and in his conversations he's testing out scenarios and how he would respond in those scenarios, when it does happen, he's got an inbuilt response. And that you get through values conversations.
So you're saying that that growth mindset is not an addition to what the learner must learn, or is it? Doesn't necessarily stand outside the curriculum? Is it integrated with the curriculum? And I think what parents would need to know is, when would my child be doing this? Is it now after school? Is it during school? When will we be getting this? When will my child really engage this new thing? Well, that's not a new thing. When will this happen in the lifespan of the child?
All right. So the one that I had just spoken about, which was the values in education, yes, and those conversations, that should happen at any point constantly throughout the child's conversation, and needs to be set up by RCLs, needs to be set up by the teachers and the schools. The growth mindset one in particular is a series of videos that the child will watch.
Okay.
And what it does, the growth mindset is such an interesting phenomenon really globally, because the pilot that we ran, what growth mindset says is, if I can just explain what growth mindset means to your listeners, is someone with a growth mindset understands that they have the ability to improve, to change, to do better, to excel through continual practice at a thing. So they don't give up. Mm. They develop resilience. And when you develop resilience, you develop the characteristics of continual improvement, which will set up a child phenomenally well when they have to enter this new world that we're never going to experience. Someone with a fixed mindset, however, does not think in that way. They think, this is the talent that I've got, this is the talents, this is my intelligence. And so this whole notion of IQ, and whether IQ, you know, that's another conversation for another day. But as you know, it's been debunked on so many levels. So growth mindset comes into the space of a child who sits somewhere on that continuum between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. Mm-hmm. And what it does is, just through watching, and we've got five videos, they're 15-minute videos, 15 minutes long, and just through experiencing and engaging with the characters, and they're all avatars in the videos, it creates the opportunity for a child to sit quietly and understand what is going on. So they, I mean, I don't want to use all sorts of weird and fancy words, but they sublimate it.
Yeah.
It becomes part of their thinking. Mm. And if you consider that a child, when something happens, the distance between the event and your behavior is so small that we're almost doing nothing about it. There's no time to think. There's no time to do anything. What the growth mindset and this whole transform to perform puts into the space of the child through each of these layers, not just the one, they meta layer, they go one on top of the next, is the opportunity to get the input, wait a beat, think about it, and go to the alternate behavior. So the child who says, I can't do it, he goes into, I can't do it yet.
Okay.
So he builds into his psyche the knowledge, confidence, and understanding that if I keep on doing this, I will get better. And it's that those videos does.
So this is a structured program. It's a structured program that is integrated with the daily curriculum. So during the day, when the child gets life orientation or life skills or mathematics, this video that allows a child to engage some of the growth mindset topics in terms of values, etc., that will be shared with the child.
Yes.
Does the child get tested on it? Do you evaluate whether the child gets it? How do you determine whether there's growth?
So just from a practical implementation in the classroom perspective first, an agreement will be reached with the school, how it will be rolled out into the school. So each school, depending on its timetable, will get a different approach. Let's just say in the ideal world, the school comes to a complete stop for the day, and all of the children in the targeted grades, which is grade 4, 5, 6, and 7 in primary schools, grade 8 and 9 in high schools, they will get exposed to this video, a number of videos over 2 weeks. And there's also an activity that the learners do with the video. Built into the activities and the video itself, which the children engage with, is the testing, if you will. So we do a pre-test to see where the child is currently. So in other words, we're doing a baseline. And then based on the responses that the child gives video after video after video, we can evaluate to see where in the spectrum the child has reached. And what we've noticed in the 20 schools that we've piloted this at is the improvement in attitude, which is the one area that we're testing, as well as academic performance. In attitude, there's been a complete escalation from having a fixed mindset to I think I can and I know I will and I'm willing to try, as opposed to I'm not going to, and this is in the same child. What we've also seen is in mathematics, in the high schools in particular, from the baseline to the post-exposure to the videos, and we're talking a period of 6 months, a 4.6% improvement in academic output.
Oh, that's great.
I'm telling you. And that's that same child whose academics previously was not quite as great. And then because you're failing, you will continue to fail if you have a fixed mindset. Yeah. And then you won't believe at any point that you're going to get any better. Then that leads to behavior problems. It leads to eventually the child drops out because he doesn't get that sense of belonging, that sense of being valued, that sense of purpose, that sense that he understands and he knows himself and the possibility that sits within him. It's that growth mindset gives. And the values conversation adds to the behaviors that needs to surround the child. And then the leadership development speaks to the next layer of the ecosystem.
Yes.
And the change mindset, which really is the other layer, the teacher layer, which says the teacher's mindset needs to be one of adaptability to change. It's that it's bringing. So the entire ecosystem around the child is being created to support the best opportunity for the child and for the department to achieve its vision of quality education for every learner, in every class, in every school in the province.
Who mediates all of that? Is that the teacher? So teachers would mediate this program or facilitate this program. Are the teachers ready for it? Have they yet been capacitated to develop their own growth mindset to be able to do this?
So there are, in every district, there's Transform to Perform champions.
Okay.
And each of the pillars has a Transform to Perform champion. Within each school, they've been requested to identify 6 change champions, really.
Mm-hmm.
And they should consist of the principal, the deputy, another SMT, a teacher, a millennial teacher, because, you know, we do want the youngsters to really be leading the charge here. And in the high schools, an RCL member. And then we're also asking for an SGB member to participate, as well as a non-teaching member. Because if we're saying the whole ecosystem, then we mean the whole ecosystem. Every school, there are 20 schools that have been identified for growth mindset for this year. Next year, there'll be 30. And the year after, will be 40 per district.
Yes.
So we're talking 160, 230, 320 or something like that. I mean, don't quote me on the numbers, but it's 20 schools per year for this year and 160. And with each of those schools, they've got a facilitator, a change facilitator that's been allocated to the school. So that's one-to-one. That facilitator has received master facilitator training in both the values as well as the growth mindset program. And they will engage with the school and the school leadership to decide how they're going to roll out. It may be that the entire staff then gets training sessions on it. It may be that the 6 change facilitators get trained, and then they, in conjunction with the district Transform to Perform champion, encapsulate the school in how they're going to roll out. So there's a variety of different models. It's not a one-size-fits-all kind of approach. In the classroom itself, the conversations must be driven by the teachers in the classroom, the RCL at the school. The conversations with the parents must be facilitated by the SMT, the SGB, and so on and so forth. And in that way, it just keeps flowing outward.
Okay, that was my next question. How would parents be involved in this? How do they get involved? Is it via the SGB? Do we have parent evenings where we have discussions and we show them a video, or do we have a talk? How do parents get involved? Because if you look at the whole child comes from a home, comes from a community. How does all of this translate into community?
So what we have seen in the schools that we have piloted the values conversations in is that parents started, because the children were saying, "Mom, you're not treating me with respect when you drop me at school late." So the mom says, "Well, what is this whole business now?" And the conversation went back to the principal, and the principal said, "Well, this is actually what we're doing." And that made the principal realize, actually, I need to invite the parents in. I need to send out newsletters. I need to keep them informed. And because the principal took the initiative to do it, it actually opened up an opportunity for us to see, okay, this is how it's going to push out. Some of the things that we've seen coming through is the schools are getting the parents to come and paint growth mindset murals and words and inspirational messages on the walls of the bathrooms in particular, which is what the RCL must also focus on, is the school environment. And because they're getting involved with that as a means of demonstrating respect, love, care, this is how the community gets involved.
Ek dink jy as ouers moet ondersoek instel, doen navraag by die skool, vra vir die hoof, wat is die growth mindset waarvan Warda Conrad by radio praat? En ek dink vra uit vir hulle, wat is transform to perform, dat jy in hierdie gesprek kan betree, because growth mindset has to do, and transform to perform has to do with you, has to do with community development, has to do with development of schools. So, liewe ouers, hier is die ding aan die kom, en ons is nog nie klaar gesels met Warda Conrad, sy gaan terugkom na ons in 'n volgende program, maar vir nou, Warda, ek en jy uitgesels vir eers, so I want to thank you very much for informing us on what growth mindset and what transform to perform is all about, but I know that we are inviting you back to have a follow-up discussion on this. So Warda Conrad, thank you so much for being here this evening.
Absolute plezier, Neville. Dankie vir jou en dankie vir jou luisteraars.
Op daai noot sê ons baie dankie. Tot ziens.